have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 10, and today we're going to look at verses 12 through 18, and while you are doing that, man, I got to do a little housekeeping here and fix the podium, because I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I just don't have the eyes these young guys have, and if I have it up this high, it is a struggle for me, so I have to lower this down and get it here. In a couple of years, I may have to have it down on the floor to be able to read where this is at, or they're going to have to build a platform or something for me to be able to stand on, because just, man, this getting older is a little bit tough at times. All right, so if you got your copy of that, while you're getting there, we'll talk a little bit about what Pastor Chris covered last week. And last week, we read about Paul, and we read about this attack that started to come from the false teachers, from the super apostles, whatever you want to call them, in Corinth, that were attacking his apostleship, that were saying he's really not a true apostle. And Pastor Chris reminded us that when we read about Paul's defense, it wasn't about him defending himself. It wasn't about him defending his personhood. It was about protecting the gospel. Because if they could attack Paul, then they could attack the message that he brought along. And his heart and his move was to be able to protect the gospel at all accounts. And the super apostles, man, they're boasting that they truly belong to God. They're saying, we're the true people. We're the ones that God has sent. And Paul really doesn't. Like, if you look at his life, it doesn't add up to what our lives look like. Look at our lives versus his life. And these super apostles, man, they are super confident in themselves. They're confident in themselves and what they've done. And Paul states, like, any authority I have, it's been given to me through Jesus. And Paul is looking to build this church up. Like, he loves them. He wants to see them grow. He wants to see them strong. He wants them to be able to see them follow good doctrine and theology. He wants those things to happen. But the truth is, like, this fight for those things comes at a great personal cost to him. And not only a personal cost, but even a physical cost. Like, man, it was hard for him. But this cost was worth it. Because the cost that he was paying was for the glory of the gospel. Not for himself. Not for him. And the false teachers are telling the church, and that really what Paul is trying to do, he only wants to scare you guys. Like, he wants to terrify you. He wants to break you guys down. And Paul's saying, no, that's not what I want. Man, I'm not here to terrify you. I'm not here to break you down. What I'm here for is to see you repent, to see you restored, to see salvation come, to see growth come, to see godliness come to this church in Corinth. That is what I want to see happen. And the super apostles say, oh, look at him. Look at him. Man, he's really tough and really strong in word when he writes letters to you. But look at him in person. He's weak. And they make attacks. And the attacks that they make are super personal against him, Pastor Chris talked about last week. Like, they want to attack his the way he looks. Man, they want to attack the way he talks. They want to attack the way that he does his ministry. And they say, look at us. Man, we're handsome, man. We're strong. Man, our lives are easy. But Paul, man, he's unimpressive. Look at him over there. There's nothing that should draw. Like, how has the Lord blessed him? And Pastor Chris reminded us that if Paul's person was unimpressive, it was because his body bore the marks of the gospel. Like, if his speech was unimpressive, the truth is, man, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. And in speaking the truth, God used him as an instrument to change the world. And Paul reminds him that some of the people in Corinth, they're going to have to learn this lesson the hard way. He's warning them that the Paul you read about in the letters is going to be the Paul that shows up in person this next time. Like, I'm just not only strong in letter, I am also strong in person. But he's warning them, and he's warning them with hope. Hope of repentance and hope of restoration. He wants to see that happen for him. And I loved it when Pastor Chris reminded us that as we look through the Old Testament, as we look through the Bible, that's how most warnings in the Bible work, aren't they? They're warnings to repent and return, to come back to us. Repent and be restored. And he finished it with giving us two applications. One for the people that are leading and those that are being led. And the truth is, I always want to remind you of this, a lot of us are leading in a lot of different ways. Like, we all have ministries. We all have things we're called to. Sometimes it may be leading our family. Sometimes it may be leading in where the Lord has placed us in an occupation. It may look different in a lot of ways. So when you hear these, remember to apply them to yourselves. if you have any kind of leadership. So he reminded leaders, remember, the position you have and the authority that you have, it was given to you by Jesus. He is the one that has provided that for you. And if you have that influence, use it. Use it to influence people and to build them up. Build up people around you. Don't build up your kingdom and your authority. And leaders, he reminded us, there's going to be times that you're going to be misunderstood. There's going to be times that you're misrepresented. But what he said was, make sure those allegations don't stick. Live a life. Let your doctrine and your life match up so that when people make the accusations against you, people know that doesn't stick, that that is not who you are talking about. And that's how Paul was. As they are making these allegations, he had hoped that people in Corinth that knew him would know this isn't true. This isn't the way that it is. Then he reminded us of the second application, and that was for those being led. He said, man, we've all been placed under authority for a purpose. You're under some authority for a purpose. And to remind us that the truth is the Lord is sovereign over everything. He has placed you where he has placed you. He has placed you in the positions that he has placed you for his glory. And the truth is, the people that are in your life that are going to lead, are they going to be perfect? No, they're going to make mistakes, aren't they? They're going to make mistakes. Man, we can't expect perfection out of them. At least not this side of heaven, right? We will not be perfect until that happens. And just like leaders are to be careful with the way that they do things, the people being led need to be careful with the way they do things. And one thing that he reminds us of is be careful with your criticism. He said, speak the truth in love. Like, sometimes we think all criticism is negative, and sometimes some criticism is good. Some is for building up, isn't it? But we got to do it in love to build others up and not to tear others down. And he reminded us to grow in Christ. Whether you're leading or whether you're following, we want to see growth. We want to see sanctification. We want to see a continual movement of the Lord in our lives. And then at the end of during the study, he had probably asked the most important question he was going to ask that day. And that is, man, are you saved and do you belong to Jesus? So today we are going to be in 2 Corinthians and we're going to be in chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. So if you have your copy of God's word, open it up. If you don't, there should be one in the pew if you don't have one with you. And starting in verse 12, it says, we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measures, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to even reach as far as you. Verse 14 tells us, for we are not overextending ourselves, as if we did not reach it to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measures, that is, in other men's labor, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. So as to preach the gospel, even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. If you would bow your heads, we will pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today thankful for your word. I pray that your word teaches us. I pray it encourages us. I pray for your word to challenge us to boldly proclaim the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, let this word today remind each of us of the calling you have in our lives, to go and make disciples wherever you've placed us. I pray the Holy Spirit works through better words than I've prepared, so that he can be given all glory and honor. Father, let us boast in your greatness. Amen. So the truth is, I don't know if I was supposed to preach this week. I don't know. We've kind of got out of a rhythm of where we're supposed to fall in. But the truth is, I am just really thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful for the goodness of God, and I really appreciate the goodness of God this week. Because a lot of times as we prepare for sermons and we're doing these things, man, Pastor Chris has this great way of reminding us, as you preach, and the best sermons you preach are when you're preaching to yourself. We know God's word always applies to us, and hopefully there's that as we read it, we know that we're looking for what does it do to our life. But sometimes we have some verses that just really hit close to home for us. Hit close to home for us. And I appreciate God in that idea that, man, this is kind of where I'm at this week. Like, this is a perfect verse for me, because it deals with things that I can struggle with, things that, man, I'm not great at. And I'm encouraged by the Lord pointing those out to me and saying, man, I want you to look at those things. So we see Paul, he's in this situation, right, where he's being attacked by false teachers. And what he does is, man, he handles it with perfect godly humility. He does that. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Man, as a guy that struggles with pride, as a guy that I would say that is something of one of the attacks the enemy loves to use on me, that if I chase down most of the sin patterns I've had in my life, that if I chase them to the bottom point, a lot of pride was always involved in those things. So I'm thankful for a word that reminds me of that. I'm thankful for a word that shows me what it looks like to be boastful and what it looks like to be humble in Christ. And that is what we're going to see today, to be a humble servant of Jesus and boast only in the Lord. So, starting in verse 12, he says, "For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding." All right. Man, is that perfectly clear to everybody on that one? Do I need to go on? Like, that's what I love about this. This is one of those parts where, you know, like Peter at one time writes, man, sometimes Paul is hard to understand. And man, there's sometimes he's hard to understand. So this week I was really thankful for the ESV version of the Bible, because I thought the ESV had a much better way they said it. And what they say is this: not that we came to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with another, when they compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Like, what he is talking about is this, and what I really like, I think, is this, is as a guy that can, man, struggle with pride and do those things, man, sometimes the language I really like to speak is sarcasm, and that's what Paul's doing here. Like, Paul is using a little bit of this sarcastic tone as he is talking about these people that are preaching about his apostleship, and what he's doing is, he's doing that to kind of like draw the attention of the Corinthians to get them, because what had happened is, during this time, this is what teachers would do. Like, teachers, if they wanted to get more students, they would compare themselves with other teachers and brag about how much better they were. Stuff that still happens within the world today, things that we still see going on. But that's what they would do. They would do that. But Paul's saying this. Like, he's saying, man, I refuse to compare myself with my opponents. That will not happen. I'm not going to compare myself with them. And, man, he's saying, man, these super apostles that have arrived in Corinth, man, they are self-promoting, they are self-commending, and they love to exalt themselves. So that's not what I'm going to do. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32, it says, "Behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them, and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I do not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord." So we go to an Old Testament example of where false prophets had come in and were leading the people astray. And Jeremiah the prophet was used by the Lord to bring attention to what the false prophets were doing. And that's what Paul is doing by these words. He's trying to draw attention to these guys. He's saying, man, these guys are so arrogant. Man, they are so puffed up that the only way they can measure themselves is by themselves. Like, they are the line. This is how it looks, man. You look to me, and that's where we're going to draw the comparison. Everybody else is going to compare to me. And that's a dangerous spot to be. That is not a good spot to be. And Paul is telling these Corinthians that these false teachers, what they've done is they've invented their own standard. Like, they have set their own standard of what holiness, what an apostle should look like, what these things should be. And they take a ton of pride. They take a ton of pride in meeting the standards that they came up with. Like, they come up with these standards, and they're going to take a lot of pride in that. And the problem with that is this: they're not using the true standard, are they? They're not using the true standard. They're using a man-made standard, but they're not using the standard that is eternal and unchanging. And that's Jesus Christ. That is the standard that we should be looking for. And this is why they could think so highly of themselves. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And hopefully you remember in God's word, we understand that to use the word fool is a strong statement. That is a strong statement. And what he's saying about these false teachers is, man, they are so blind and deceived, they're without understanding. They cannot even understand. They have no interest in giving God the glory and the honor that he's due. And if a person's standard is himself, then they're always right, aren't they? Like, the truth is, if anybody's ever struggled with that, like, I will be honest with you. Man, I feel like the Lord has grown me a lot over, man, the past decade. He has. Like, one of the things I used to love to do is this, man. Like I knew the Lord. He was my Savior. I don't doubt my salvation. Man, did I always walk the best walk? No. But I love to always say, oh, man, I'm not doing great, but have you seen that guy? Like, if you've seen that guy, man, if you see that guy and what he's doing, oh, I'm doing a whole lot better than that. And, man, the problem was that standard wasn't Jesus, was it? Like, I was not comparing that. I was comparing it to somebody that I could easily beat in the standard I wanted to set off man-made standards. And he's reminding them that is not what we can do. That makes you a fool. Because when it comes to God's kingdom work, the truth is it's not about us. It's not about us. And when we get an opportunity, wherever God has placed us, the minister is for one reason, and that's to give God all honor and glory. That is why we get the opportunity. And if we're ministering, that is the goal, is to point people to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to warn you right this, like, maybe sometimes we read this and we think false teachers were from a different time, different things were happening. I'm going to tell you this right now today. Man, if you're watching someone preach, and they are preaching, and it's about them, man, you need to turn and run. You need to turn and run. If there's an opportunity that they are preaching more about them than they are about Jesus Christ, that is a false teacher, I'm telling you. That is not what it is about. And false teachers and the super apostles, whatever you want to call them, measure their success by their ministry, by the standards they set. And the truth is that the same way God measures success? Does God measure success by manly standards? Now, I know a lot of you have been with us for a long time, right? We're going to go way back here for a little bit. You remember our study in the book of Revelation, right? We had a study, and we were in that for a long time, weren't we? And in chapters 2 and 3, we see these letters written to the churches, don't we? All right? And in those churches, do you remember the letter to Smyrna? Anybody remember that letter to Smyrna? Anything about them? Were they a rich church? No. By worldly standards, you looked at them, and they were a poor church. But if you remember what God said, God told them they were rich. When God saw them, he saw them as rich. And that may not be monetarily rich. He meant spiritually rich in the things that he had blessed them with and their love for the Lord. So the world said they were poor. God said they were rich. Do you remember the church at Laodicea? That's the last letter. Do you remember anything about that church? Man, that church was the church that you drove by and you say, man, that's a church. Look at that thing. Man, it's impressive. Look at all those cars. Man, there are people everywhere. Money's probably pouring in. And to the world, they were like, man, that is the place you need to be. Look at it. That is successful. And because of that, man, they say, we don't need anything, is what the church would say. They don't say we need anything. But do you remember what the Lord told them? The Lord told them they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This church that the world thought was so successful looking at, God's standard was different. And the truth is, Paul has a different measure of success than what these super apostles have, right? Like Paul's measure of success, one thing was, man, not getting praise from men, but whether he was faithful in doing what God had commissioned him to do. And we read a little bit about that commission here in verse 13. And it says, but we will not boast beyond our measures, but within the measures of the sphere which God apportioned us, as a measure to even reach as far as you. And then in verse 14 he says, for we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. So we see in verse 13 how Paul measures his success, right? And part of that measurement of success was staying within the limits God had given him, right? These super apostles have come in and said, he's not where he's supposed to be. We're the ones that are supposed to be here, right? He's gone beyond what he is supposed to do. But Paul's saying, man, I won't do that. I won't do that. And Paul's reminding them that their boasting is out of control, but he's going to say nothing that's outside of his measure. And he uses some really interesting words here. Like, he uses this word sphere, and that's a word we've probably heard a lot. But when you chase it down in the Greek, it would have been a word that they easily understood. Like, sometimes we lose a little bit of this transaction. Because in Corinth, every year, they hosted this thing called the Isthmus Games, which was kind of like a rivalry of the Olympics, right? So it was sporting and arts. It was this big thing that went on. But when they talked about a sphere, what they were talking about was a word that was used for your lane in a race. And we use that kind of vernacular even to this day. How often, anybody here ever been guilty of telling somebody, hey, you need to stay in your own lane? Yeah, sometimes we like to tell people we need to stay in our own lane. If you watch the Olympics, you can see the danger that comes when you get outside of your lane. You get in the wrong lane, what happens? You get disqualified and you're out of the race, right? So he's using this word that would have been really familiar to him because they wanted to stay in that. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, in this sphere of measurement that the Lord has given me, man, that's the lane God assigned me. That is the lane he assigned to me. And what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to brag about what's going on in other lanes. I'm going to tell you what's happening in my lane. What is going on here? And he says, I want to stay in the measure of the sphere God placed me in. And if you look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to him, go. Excuse me. And this, he's talking to Ananias at this point in Acts. Like, he's sending Ananias to Paul because Paul is blind. And he says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. He's talking about Paul, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. That is what Paul is called to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, it says, for this I was appointed, a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. So we see God's word saying that Paul's fear, his lane, it was to take the truth of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. We see that over and over. As a matter of fact, if you were in a small group today, that is what we studied about. We studied about Saul, is what they say in there, and Barnabas being sent out by the Holy Spirit, right? And they were sent out to the Gentiles. And the truth is this, the false apostles, they hadn't been chosen by God. They hadn't been chosen by God. They had no sphere that had been divinely marked out for them. And Paul reminds them that his God-given measure was to reach as far as the church in Corinth. Like, that's as far as he was. So following God's plan, that's where God went. He followed where God wanted him to go. And over in God's word, we see Paul do this. Paul sometimes has desires to go to different places, doesn't he? We read it in his words. But what does Paul always do? Paul's the urging of the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? Matter of fact, if we would read through all this and you look in Acts at this course, we see the Holy Spirit guiding him from place to place to place. That is how it works, and that is what he is doing. So I kind of like verse 14 because he's kind of talking this language that he talks about. And when I worked in the prison, we would sometimes use this vocabulary. Man, we would ask people, man, are you a professional forgetter? Like, we would see guys that would come and have to go away for a long, long time. And man, they would be doing so good. And they'd come back and we'd be like, man, did you forget? Did you forget how bad this was? Did you forget these things? And that's kind of what Paul is doing here. Like, he's kind of using that same kind of vernacular. He's asking them, man, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten who brought the gospel to you? Have you forgotten who led you to Jesus Christ? Have you forgotten who started the church in Corinth? Because what they've done is they've listened to these other guys and they have started to get away from the truths that they know. Because all those things that we just talked about, the gospel, saving faith in Jesus, the starting of the church, that all happened with the arrival of Paul in Corinth. He was the one that started that. And the truth is this, he was their father in the faith, and they were his children. And now his children have acted like they forgot who their father was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, kind of describes that a little bit better. As he wrote this first letter, he says, for if you were to have countless countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. So he is back here in 2 Corinthians reminding them who he is to them. This is the history. This is what happens. And he's telling them, man, we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. Paul shared the good news of Jesus with them. And the result was, man, the church in Corinth was birthed. That is what happened. That's what we see in 1 Corinthians happening. And then we get to verses 15 to 16 that says, not boasting beyond our measure, as in any other man's labor, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within the sphere enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. So, when he talks about this not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other men's labor, what we see Paul doing is he's stressing this point, that he has not and he will not take authority in another man's sphere. But that's exactly what the false teachers are doing, right? They have come in behind Paul. They are taking credit. They are boasting in the sphere that he had given to Paul and in what Paul had accomplished through Jesus Christ there. And what Paul is expecting is different than what the false teachers are expecting. The false teachers want them to rely heavily on them. But what Paul wants to see happen is this, that as they grow in their faith, as they grow in their doctrine, as they grow in their maturity, that their sphere of influence is going to grow in Corinth. Like it is going to grow. It is going to expand. It is going to get larger. But when people see what's happening in their lives, they're going to be driven to Jesus Christ. That is what's going to happen. And as they grow in strength and discernment and knowledge of the Lord, you're going to see some certain things happen. Like one of them is going to be, is this hope that some local elders are going to be raised up to lead the local church. That is what he wants to see happen. The truth is, some are going to be raised up, and they're going to become missionaries in this process. They're going to become missionaries. People from Corinth are going to leave that area where they're at to go take this word to people that haven't heard it. Like, that is the goal of what he wants to see happen. He wants people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And not only that, as their faith and knowledge grows, hopefully their wisdom grows, and they're able to recognize false teachers better. And we learn that not out of our own doing, out of the power of the Holy Spirit, out of the power of his word, to be able to recognize those kind of things as they go on. And the truth is, man, Paul's hope is one day he's going to be released by God from Corinth. And not because he doesn't love them, not because he doesn't care for them, but all he has this desire to take the gospel to other places who haven't heard the news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, one of the beautiful things I think about these verses are, I think we have an opportunity to see this in first real time things here at First Baptist. We see this happening. So what I want you to think about is this. Man, we got families that we love that have gone into spiritually dark places, haven't they? They have moved their families. They have gone across the world with the purpose of taking the good news to those places, haven't they? And man, I want to tell you, we want to praise God. We want to praise God of what we've seen. Like the other week, Mama T, I was listening to her talk, and Wednesday at the Salt Luncheon, and she talked about this. She talked about this, like when they, the O's, well, I'm going to talk about the O's real quick, that when they left, they were told, man, don't even plan on seeing any spiritual fruit. Like you're going to plant seed, and maybe in a 50, 100 years, we're going to see some people become disciples out of that, and you probably won't be around to see it. But the truth is, man, by God and his power, man, he's brought dead people to life where they're at. He's brought dead people to life. And now there's a church where they are at that is active, it's alive, and that's with local believers, local believers. And they're raising up local elders, and their sphere of influence is being enlarged. Like one of the things we talked about the other day was this fact that, if you remember last year, we kind of did some fundraising through VBS to help a local brother be able to expand his place where they were meeting, and they've outgrown that. Like they have outgrown that. Like their sphere of influence is growing. As people see the gospel in people's lives, they want to know more about it. And the truth is this, man, one day, by God's grace and his leading, And that church, where they're at, is going to be completely led by local believers. Like, local believers are going to be that. And the truth is, man, what a day of rejoicing that is going to be for us. Man, that is a day we will say hallelujah and praise God for doing the impossible, doing what we didn't think we would see in our lifetime. I think we have this distinct possibility of seeing happening. And I want you to know this, man. I've got to know Matt and Bethany so much better over the years. And they got a plan for that day. They got a plan for that day. That day when these local believers take over and are leading their church. And the truth is, man, that's not to come back home. Their plan is not to come back home and say, man, we did what we needed to do. Our work is done. Man, I've talked to them over and over, and they said, man, when that happens, our plan is to follow the Lord's leading, where the Holy Spirit wants us to go, and we're going to go to the next group of people that don't know who Jesus Christ is. That is what we're talking about right here. That is what we've seen. And the truth is, we need to pray like that, that one day the O's and the T's, man, they're going to be released by God to take the gospel to places which haven't heard the good news yet. Because that is the goal, to keep going, to keep growing, and to keep doing. And then we get to verse 17 that says, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. And in verse 17, this, he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. Man, this is a reference back to what Josh read earlier out of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, that says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of this wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Man. And Paul isn't leaving any room for self-glory in those verses, is he? Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Man, he's saying this. Seek after God's glory. Seek after God's glory. We're to know God is what verses tell us from Jeremiah, doesn't it? It says, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That is what we boast in. Man, how different is that than what the false teachers are telling them? The false teachers are telling them. They were after their own glory. And as we see that, I hope that's a warning to us. Man, we don't want to be about our own glory, do we? And man, how often are we about our own glory? Be warned by what you read here. Paul, and one of the things I like is this. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. Like, he's not telling you you can't boast, right? He who boasts is to boast in the Lord. Because God has given us some amazing gifts and talents, hasn't he? Man, we got an opportunity today, every Sunday, that I'm amazed by the talents he has given the people here. Man, go downstairs and see some of these talents these people have with these kids. Like, man, the Lord has blessed a lot of us with a lot of different talents, right? But we need to remember that gifts and talents, they're from God. They're from God. And there's a reason we have those gifts and talents, and that's to bring honor and glory to the one who deserves it, and that's the Lord. And those gifts and talents, man, they were given us to give us a platform to tell lost people about Jesus Christ. Like, that is what we are called to do. I had a buddy at work that man, I loved the pieces that I would quote this one to him all the time, because sometimes he would get a little bit off base about some stuff, and I would remind him of this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of the Lord. All things that we do, we are to do to the glory of God. And the truth is this, and we're not mighty and powerful. But man, we serve a God that is. We serve a God that is mighty and powerful. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. It is about God's glory. And the truth is, let's just be honest a little bit. Man, how often are we tempted when we do a good job for Jesus to want to take a little bit of the glory? Like, when it goes good, to say, ooh, man, look what I did. I I think I could talk to that person. Look what I did. Or what, man, Lord bless me. Sometimes we want to take that glory because that's just the nature. That's the sin nature within us. But we want all glory. Any success we have in service to him is because of the grace of God that he has supplied us. And in verse 18, Paul tells us, like, the most important seal of approval in our lives comes from God. If we want to be commended, we want God's commendation. And the truth is this, like, man, sometimes we're going to get some applause from the world. Sometimes the world is going to tell us, man, you did great. And sometimes they're going to butter us up. Sometimes they're going to talk a little crazy about us. That's true, too. But sometimes the world's going to give you some applause. And what I want you to remember is this. And take that for what it is. Take that for what it is. And you can appreciate it. You can be thankful. Like, we've seen some people do some super kind things for the church because they're happy with what the church does. Man, we take it for what it is, but the truth is we got to remember this. Man, we don't labor for the commendation of men, and we want the commendation of the Lord. And the false teachers that we read about here, they love to commend themselves. They love to talk about how great they are, how they set this standard for what that looks like. But Paul's only concerned with one thing. That's a commendation from his Father in heaven, God. And the Greek word that he uses here for approve means to be tested, to be tested. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 25, who in here is familiar with the parable of the talents? We know that parable, don't we? We've heard it a lot, right? And what we see in there is we see this master. He tests his servants, doesn't he? He gives them some talents, and he wants to see what they're going to do with them, right? So he says what they do. And at the end of it, do you remember what he says to the good servants? The servants that multiplied the talents that he gave him? What does he say? He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Right? That is what he says. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He tests them. Man, they increase what he has given them. And that's the reward that they get. Is "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And what Paul's saying here is, there's only one test or approval I want, and that's from God. So for application, this week I was looking through it, and I'm like sometimes I'll struggle with this idea of I know what I want to say, just don't really know exactly how to say it. So I'm gonna say it like I wrote it down, and forgive me if it's not probably the proper English or the right way to say it, but application number one. Man, how is your humility and how is your pride? Like, this is what I know with me. Like, when my pride is super high, man, my humility is always super low. They don't travel together where, man, pride is here and humility is here. It's usually like this kind of balance, isn't it? And that's how it works in my life. And the truth is, man, like, when my pride is way up here, you know what I like to trust in? I like to trust in myself. I like to trust in myself, man. We go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Lean not on your own understanding." Do you know how often I have to remind myself of "lean not on your own understanding"? Because you know what I like to do? Sometimes I like to lean on my understanding. But on the backside of this, he says, man, but trust in the Lord in all your ways, and he will make straight your path. Like, that's that idea of I'm going to step away from what I want. I'm going to listen for the Lord's voice and do what he is calling me to do. Like that is just a struggle that we run into. And we don't want to be like the false teachers because, like, man, pride was shown at every opportunity they had. That is what marked their ministry, was pride. They loved to praise themselves. And the crazy thing was, man, that praise came from their own mouths a lot of times. Like, it wasn't always the people that were praising them, but boy, they were quick to let you know how great they were. And I think we've run into that in our lives. We've seen those kind of things where that happens, where people love to brag on themselves. To use his words, they measured themselves by themselves. And we may do that sometimes, but we want to be careful with that. But, man, when you're humble, what does that look like in your life? What does true godly humility look like in your life? Man, to be truly humble is to realize, man, that every good and profitable thing I have in my life, I didn't create that. It wasn't because I was so smart, such a hard worker, such good this and that. Man, those are gifts that came from God. That was God's grace that brought those things to me. And in humility, I need to remember that. And in humility, are we eager to give God all glory? All the glory that he deserves, all the credit that he does. Man, are we wowed by God? Like, think about that, man. Every once in a while, aren't you surprised? Like, man, the Lord in his kindness gives you a flashback to some way he has protected you or done something to you, and you forgot it over time, and you think, wow, God, man, I didn't even realize at that time what you were doing, but you were doing so much. Man, are you wowed by God? Are you wowed by God? Because I'm telling you, when our humility is low, oh, we look at what he does and we are like, wow, man, God, that is incredible. Because what we realize when our humility is low is this. Man, we're not worthy of what he's given us. We're not worthy. We haven't done anything that would constitute his grace and mercy that he's given us in our lives. All right, application number two. Are you where God wants you to be? All right, first of all, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because I'm going to tell you this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not where he wants you to be. You are not where he wants you to be. You may be at church. You may be showing up for Sunday school. And you may be the best person in Harrisburg. But you're not where God wants you to be. You don't get there until you become part of his family. Until God adopts you into his family. The only way we get adopted into God's family is by faith and belief in Jesus Christ, his son. So, are you where God wants you to be? And the truth is this. For the believers, are you where God wants you to be? Are you where God wants you to be right now? Like, man, if you've heard the good news, if you've heard the good news that Jesus came and lived a sinless life, died on the cross so we could be made right with a holy God, man, if you believe that he was buried and rose 3 days later and is now seated at the right hand of God, and because of that you can spend eternity with him, then that should have some effect on our lives. That should show in us. If you don't know that, man, I'm telling you, today could be the day. Man, do not let the enemy come in here and steal that from you. Today could be the day that you become part of the family. But for those that are in the family, man, we want to know, like, man, we want to keep growing. Because here's the truth. Man, all of us here, God has placed you in a specific place with specific people. He's given you specific jobs. He's given you specific friends. And that's not by accident. That is not by accident. God has placed you there with a purpose. And what he's hoping is this. That purpose is that we tell people about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He has planted us where he's planted us for those things. And the truth is this. As we read this, I don't want us to always think like, oh, God has just placed me here and that is it. Because is that what we saw out of Paul? Was Paul satisfied to say, man, I'm just going to stay in Corinth and that is going to be it forever? No, his goal was to grow the church there, be able to get them independent, and then to go on. So the truth is this. And how often do we hear Pastor Chris preach the words, who's next? Who's next? Like, man, as believers in Christ, what is God calling us to? Man, he's calling us to be apostles where he's placed us. But the truth is this, man, for some people in there, man, he may have a burden on you to, it may be, man, come and preach on a Sunday night. Start coming to the preaching lab. Be involved with that. Maybe it's I don't want to be involved in that. Maybe it's I just want to sit there and learn from it. I don't know what he's doing, but I guarantee you he's calling you to growth. Man, some of you, he may be calling you to this idea of, man, you need to go into vocational or bivocational ministry. And we may be like, oh, Lord, I'm pretty happy where you placed me. That's not where I want to be. But, oh, he is looking to stretch us. He is looking to call us into some other things. And some of us, as Paul says, man, he may be even calling us to regions beyond where we are at now. His call may be for you to take the word to lost and dying people in dark places around the world. I don't know for sure, but if we are trusting in him, we know this. We just can't be easily satisfied. We want to keep, man, growing because of what he has done for us. And application number three is this. And what are you boasting in? And whose approval are you seeking? Like, are you focused on the rewards of the here and now? Like, and the truth is a lot of times, man, we want to seek, like, a little bit of fame. We want a little bit of power, man. We want some wealth. And go back, man, one day this week. If you get some time, one day go back and read Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 is one of my favorite. And if you read verses 1 through 10, it's one of my favorite. Because as a guy that liked to wanted to chase those kind of things, or wanted to chase fame, power, and wealth, man, Paul has this list of things that he calls the secrets of a wasted life. Like, he talks about all these things that to the world would look so great. All the knowledge, all the family, all these other things that the whole world is going to crave. And when he gets to the end of verse 10, do you remember what he calls those things? All these things that we think are so great? He says, compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ, I see them all as dung. And that's what he says. These things that we count as so powerful, man, they are worth nothing to him in the end. And I'm not saying we can't have good gifts while we're here. But what we need to remember is this. Man, the greatest gifts are coming still. Man, if we are in Jesus Christ, one day we get heavenly rewards. And they are going to outweigh anything we ever could have had here on this earth. Man, know that. Take faith in that. Take trust in that. All the riches and all the applause of the world are going to mean nothing one day. They're going to mean nothing one day. But how much is it going to mean to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? All right. Man, I'm going to pray. And, man, if you have if the Lord's put a burden on you, man, maybe today you need to come down and say, man, my priorities have been wrong. I've been caught up in pride, not humility. Maybe I'm trying to fight the Lord off on what he's calling me to do. Some of you, maybe I need to come down here and say, Lord, today is the day. Today is the day I'm ready to accept your son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you got something private you just need to come down here to the altar and pray about. It will be open. Man, I will pray. Come up front. Me and Pastor Nolan are here. Man, we would love to talk to you guys about membership. Any questions that maybe you have, man, we would love to talk to you guys about that. But let me pray over this word first. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come to you today. Man, so, so thankful. So thankful for your word, Lord. We pray that your spirit has worked in a mighty way, man, to open ears, to open our hearts to the truth of your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. To know you have placed us where you've placed us, Lord. Lord, you have given us the gifts you have given us. And Lord, we don't want to live for the applause of this world. Man, we want to live to one day here. Well done, my good and faithful servant.